want, Jared, maybe just take a few minutes. I thought it was, you know, a five-minute podcast, but it was well worth it. Everyone should listen to it.
Yeah, he was, I'm impressed with him. I'm listening to a number of his works now. I did last night for just a few minutes, and I did this morning starting at about 5:45. I've been here and just listening to them, and they're really good. This young man turned his life, when I say young man, he was late 20s, but to me that's a young man. When he started, you know, he was really overweight and unmotivated and just disappointed in himself and hadn't accomplished anything that he could be even somewhat proud. He just was not having a good time. And he started doing what we've been talking about for 52 years, 51, how many years we've been in business, 51, and that is reading, listening. In those days, it was listening to recordings, and then later on it got to be tapes. Now it's listening to podcasts and Zoom calls and videos. And he started reading books, biographies and autobiographies and personal growth. And his life literally turned upside down to the better. He went 180. And he, because he was obese, the way he started to make, he and his wife, Lisa, as you know, the story is beautiful. They started to make protein bars, health bars, instead of eating junk food, you know, it gives you the protein. I like those bars. I've tasted them. I wish they would change from sugar to stevia, but that's another story because, you know, I'm not a fan of sugar. I just don't think sugar is healthy for the body. But the bars are excellent, and they did a heck of a job, and then they started making the protein, and I never tasted the protein because it's whey protein, and I'm a vegan, but good protein, I've been told. And others, and chips, instead of fried and all that stuff, they bake them. And instead of salt, they use sea salt, or they use salt, but it's sea salt or mountain salt, but they don't use regular salt. And a company called Big Foods Company came to them and bought their, just the bar business for $1 billion. Wow. As they say in Spanish, that's mucho dinero. That's Spanish for mucho dinero. And that's the story of anybody who decides to change their lives. We each decided to change our lives. We joined a business family called Landmark. Some of us, it was Penn Corp many years ago. And the philosophy and the ideology inspired us. One of our family business members quit smoking. A number of us started exercising, a number of us started eating wisely, a number of us started cutting back on the volume and being much smarter on the food. It's all about our choices, and this whole blog was about choices. And I think he pronounces it Tim Bilyeu. I will get the absolute pronunciation. It's B-I-L-Y-E-U, and I think it's Bilyeu, or it could be Bilyeu, but I think it's Bilyeu. But anyhow, I'll get the absolute. But a terrific young man, and during listening to all of his podcasts, I'm so fascinated how he is getting better in communicating his thoughts in not just interviews, but just sharing his thoughts on cassette videos and tapes and blogs. Not cassette tapes, forgive me, I keep using the wrong word. I'm dating myself. But it's all exciting, and that was the whole thing, and he realizes and he believes, because he believes it happened to himself, he started from zero and it became a 10, in his own words. And every one of us can do such a brilliant things with our lives. Every one of us. From where we are at this stage, because we associate with people who are supportive, and we're in an amazing business that allows us to get a lifetime worth of return because of a thing called residuals. We call it renewals. And a chance for some of us who have that burn in our belly, a desire to become an equity owner. And I don't care if you're a young person, 22, 23, or you're a middle-aged person like I am, or you're an old person like I am too. It doesn't make any difference. It's what you want. And I am just so excited to be a part of your professional careers. I've been here 62 years, and I'm very excited. This turns me on. I know I drive everybody a little crazy because I start singing early in the morning at the office, which is a little goofy, but I like it. And I am a terrible singer, but I enjoy my voice because that's all that's important to me. So that's kind of the story from a person that started with nothing and achieved excellence. And that's the story of Ben Corp, now Landmark, We didn't have hundreds of millions. We started with one guy with a briefcase in his hand saying, "Good morning, Mr. Jones." And being self-employed like you are, you may, and that's how it all started. Back to you, Greg.
Well, it was a great podcast. I thought the way he worded it, and I like what you said, because he has improved. I know who he is and listened to him in the past, and you know, you could just see his own evolution, which is interesting. How it doesn't matter who you are, there's always stages that we can get better at, and it was just well done. So thanks for finding that, Jerry, and sharing it with everybody. That was great. Anyways, this morning, I wanted to talk about managing your emotions and what does that mean in sales. You know, with being a true sales professional, it's not what happens to you, it's how you deal with the no's and the yeses and everything about it. So I thought today we would just take some time and discuss it. Managing your emotions in sales involves the intentional regulation and control of one's emotional responses and expression during sales interactions. It is a critical aspect of maintaining professionalism, building positive relationships, and achieving successful outcomes. Here's what managing emotions in sales entails. And I'm going to start, Sylvia, if you could lead us this morning with your thoughts on maintaining composure. Sales professionals need to remain composed, especially in challenging or high-pressure situations. This involves keeping a level head and not letting frustration or stress show in interactions with clients. Can you speak to that, Sylvia?
Thanks, Greg. I sure can. First of all, when you start to really understand how our system works and how we as people operate and the various people and their moods and their emotional intelligence of the people that we meet, you start to realize that it's best for you to, number one, not take anything personally. When you walk up to somebody, you always want to approach people looking professional and confident that you know what you're there for and what your purpose is. And your job is to explain this program to 5 self-employed people a day, or maybe the odd key personnel, but 5 presentations a day. So your main objective is to get a presentation done. And when you walk into somebody or somebody's business, and if they're not having a good day, and they attempt to take it out on you, you can't take that personally. It's not, they are not mad at you. You didn't do anything wrong. They're just having something going on in their life, and we don't know what's going on in someone's life. Before you walked in, they could have got a phone call that just gave them some terrible bad news. They this morning could have had a terrible argument with their loved one. But you just don't know what's going on in someone's life. So when somebody lashes out, it's not you. It's a reflection of how they're feeling. And likewise, when you lash out, it's a reflection of how you're feeling. And if someone jumps at you and you are rude in your comeback and then walk out of that business, A, you have not shown yourself as a professional. You have allowed their emotions to affect your emotions. And in reality, you're allowing them to take money out of your pocket. Because it's your attitude that's going to determine your success, not anyone else's. And so the minute you let someone else affect your attitude, you truly are allowing them to affect your income. You can say, oh, he did this, he didn't do that, as Bob Proctor would say. People do things, but you allow it. You're the one that has that response. So learning to take the no's, whether they're friendly or not, it's not a no to you. It's not anybody saying you're a bad person. Unless you do walk in there and you're very rude, then maybe you deserve that. But typically a landmark professional doesn't do that. Also, how we leave them and how we respond to them affects when the next person walks in from Landmark. if you caught them at a bad time today, but you're nice when you leave, and maybe even put a little bit of a smile on their face because of something that you say, that you try to give people joy as you go around. When someone else walks in from Landmark, they remember Landmark not as a negative, but as a potential positive, or maybe not at all. But if you're rude, or you're doing a presentation and you really try to pitch somebody and convince them, and you're not following the system and you're not being professional, that affects all of us. And you shouldn't have any pressure. The pressure's not on us, it's on the system. And this is the value of the system, because you can relax. And if you go into the legendary recordings, one of the best ones Jerry did was relax, relax, relax. You can relax and know that as long as you're doing your 5 presentations properly and with a good attitude, you will write business. And you don't know, no one person, like when you walk in, you might think you've got them, you might think you don't, but we never really know to the very end. And so you must maintain your composure and be professional all the way through and allow the system to do the work, not necessarily you. Your work is to keep your head in the game and maintain that composure, because people like to deal with people that are professional, that get on with things, but you can't be too fast. And maintaining your composure also makes you feel good, because you're always, it's your attitude you have to control, not anybody else's. And so maintaining composure is so important all the way through, that when you do that trial close and you're waiting for an answer, that you just calmly sit or stand there and listen. And in your mind, if anything, in your mind, you might be saying, yes, 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 or pick two, pick two, pick three, pick three. You might be repeating what you'd like them to do, but you've got to stay calm and just wait for that answer. Just like when you get down to the very end and you're asking, how do they want to take care of that deposit? If somebody says, you want a check from me today? You don't get all freaked out and say, well, you know, we want to lock in your health history. Yes, I want a check today. I want to cover you today. And the more you can control your emotions and yourself, the better everything gets. Because when you're not caught up in, when you lose control of your emotions, you're letting other people, you're thinking about yourself. What are these people thinking about me? Somebody yells at you, oh, he thinks I'm a terrible person, or I'm just, like, you get caught up in yourself. When you're focused on providing good service for people and taking care of people, protecting their income, you're not focused on them, you're focused on you. And all you need to do is maintain that composure and keep focused on the idea that you're trying to help somebody. You're not trying to slide a fast one over anybody. That's not the way we sell, the way we write business. We truly want people to understand how it works and have a good understanding of if they have something serious happen, what's the retribution for them and their family. And it's based on what's happened for other people, because that's how we know what's happened in the past. We don't know what's moving forward or who's moving forward or what's going. But the more you maintain just yourself in that professional Landmark stance, proud to represent the program that you're representing, proud that you know the system, and proud that you're able to do your 5 presentations in a day, you will get more than your fair share of business. You don't need to have any pressure or worry at all. But if you go off that, that's what causes worry. That causes worry, that causes doubt, because if you're not on track, you're trying to figure out what to say. Well, we've told you what to say, but you think there's something better. So far, we haven't found one. And so if you see the great value in our program and learn our system to the T and follow it and just know that you're a good person doing a good work, life will take care of you. Back to you, Greg.
Thanks, Sylvia. And that's why you're a professional. After all these years, and I like what you said, you got to keep busy, too. When you're busy and you've got lots of presentations, you're not stressed out, because you're putting the pressure on telling our system, our story. If you just do that consistently, you're going to get your fair share of the business. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Sylvia. And I'm going to go to Joel. Joel, I'd like you to speak to this. Resisting emotional reactions. Rather than reacting impulsively based on emotions, effective salespeople manage their responses thoughtfully. They avoid responding defensively or emotionally to objections or challenges. Can you speak to that, Joel?
Absolutely. It's the concept of act, not react. So many people instinctively react, and that we're all guilty of it. It's kind of like when someone says something and you jump on it quickly, and Sylvia kind of talked about it a little bit. Someone says something challenging or controversial, or sometimes they'll say something that's completely incorrect. That's the one that I have to work on the most. When someone says something like, oh yeah, you know, this all insurance is terrible. You know, and of course, we know better, but the client doesn't because they're just knee-jerk reaction. When you have the discipline and the self-confidence to slow down and just say, I understand what you're trying to say, and a lot of people have felt the same way, but what they found was, ... You fill in the blanks. Whereas the difference is if someone, you know, who just reacts instead of acts, all insurance is terrible. Well, you know, it's actually really, when you jump in so quickly, and you jump in and you're not comfortable and confident and relaxed, you sound sketchy, you sound pushy, you sound different than what you want to come across, however it is. So one little trick that I've learned is put a 1 or 2 second pause in between what they said and what you said. It helps you regulate, it helps you relax, it helps you come across as confident. You don't come across as pushy or jumpy. Just put a 1 or 2 second pause, and it gives you time to think. Some days the brain just doesn't work as well as it should. And you just take that second to pause. Another little trick that I've learned is repeat what they said. It's kind of like, I think it's Inspector Clouseau did this. So what you're trying to tell me is, and you kind of repeat back to them exactly what they said. Okay, you know, I'm not doing this today. I never give a check on the first time. Okay, so what you're saying, just so I understand this correct, is what you're trying to say is you understand it's important, but you just don't typically give a check the first time. Is that what you're saying? Okay, perfect. And then I'll respond to it once you've agreed. Can we get to, we've got a couple of people with their mute not off. Elizabeth, I believe you've got your mute off. Can you turn your mute on, please?
Here.
So it just makes a big difference when you are prepared. When you are prepared versus when you react automatically. If you're not comfortable and confident, we've got things happening in the house here. When you're not comfortable and confident, when you react as opposed to act, the client can see it happen. And because the client sees that you're not in comfortable, confident control, they're not going to do business with you. The same client, same situation, same presentation. When you have that comfort, the confidence, they'll respect that and say, okay, this person, I trust this person, I believe in this person. And the rule is, if you're not confident that they should do business, they're not going to be confident they should do business. But it all comes down to how you respond in the moment. So practice your objections, practice your overturns, but then in the moment when they say something, take that second, pause, respond comfortably and confidently. Don't let the middle of their sentence interrupt the beginning of your sentence. In other words, don't be over-talking people. It doesn't come across well. I'll throw it back to you, Greg.
Well, I loved what you shared, Joel, and, you actually tied into another emotion I wanted to talk about. You did a great job. You actually talked about active listening. And emotionally intelligent people practice active listening to turning into the customer's emotions and concerns. This helps in responding appropriately and building rapport. You cover that as well, Joel, and that's why you've been so successful. You know, there's an expression, there's very few good listeners. People love to talk. Very few people really are good listeners. And you might think you're a great listener, but it's how your prospect or the customer you're talking to, how they respond to you. Do they feel that you're listening? So you shared your thoughts amazingly, Joel, and that's why you're so successful. And I'm going to go to Christian. Christian, I'd like you to speak on empathy without absorption. While it's important to empathize with customers, managing emotions means not absorbing their negative emotions. Sales professionals need to maintain a balance between understanding a client's perspective and staying focused in the sales process. Can you speak to that?
Well, I think what it reminds me of is the term tactical empathy. So it's, empathy is the ability to understand somebody's feelings and inner state, but it doesn't mean you have to either agree or disagree with their position. It just means really understanding where they're coming from, trying to see the world through their perspective. And if they're coming at it from a negative perspective or a negative viewpoint, you don't have to agree with their position, but you just have to understand it. You know, people may have had bad experiences with salespeople, with insurance, with, a lot of different things. They may have trust issues. And to really understand where they're coming from without taking it personally, it allows you to be able to speak to their need and their situation in a way that helps them through it. You know, you diffuse the emotion when you can label it. So I find it's actually helpful if you can label that. So if you're getting a sense, you know, your third eye, your empathy is kicking in, and you can see that they're maybe closed off a little bit, or they're saying some negative things about insurance. You know, say out loud. It seems like you've had a bad experience with insurance, and then listen really carefully, not just to the words that they're saying, but trying to understand what's beneath the words that they're saying. And when they have an opportunity to say it out loud, it can actually take a lot of the power out of the negative. And if you're really listening, you can gather information that can help get through the fact that, you know, perhaps we're doing things that would solve that problem. So if they talk about how somebody paid into something and then all of a sudden they went to use it and they didn't get paid because they were told that they already had it before or something like that. And you can, you know, repeat back to them. Oh, you had a bad experience because this. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly the case. Oh, I can totally understand where you're coming from. I would be really frustrated with that as well. You know, what I'm really proud of is that we qualify our people in the beginning. So we do take a look into somebody. And now we can speak to a barrier that is personal and true to them, but is not a barrier to us building a relationship. It's actually going to help remove barriers. So when you really are listening to people for not just the words that they're saying, but the emotion that lies beneath, and you're able to try to understand where they're coming from without taking it personally, without getting wrapped up in it, you're able to address it in a way that helps remove those barriers. And it really is an incredible skill to have, regardless of whether you're negotiating with people, your partner, anybody. Leading with tactical empathy and asking good questions, bringing some negatives to light. Sometimes people have a tendency not want to bring negatives to light, but bringing them out in the daylight diffuses them. It makes them less of a problem than more of a problem. So if you're sensing something from a person and you're hearing feeling that's coming from them, but it also the flip side too, if you're feeling a sense of enthusiasm for them or excitement from them, and you're getting signals that are, like, let's call them buying signals, interest signals, we have a tendency to then maybe take shortcuts. Maybe we don't tell the emotional story the way that we should. Maybe we jump over a step. Maybe we try to go for the close too early. And we, in either way, can easily fall off the track. Emotion, when it comes up, can cause us to fall off track. If we feel like somebody is maybe not engaged, or we can sense a little bit of negativity, whatever it may be, if we're not able to pinpoint what it is, we might get in our own head. We might start to subjectively project our own thinking onto the situation. Oh, they're not interested, they're not this, they're not that. And so maybe we fold the tent early. Maybe we don't stick with that prospect. Maybe we don't assume forward to the next step of the system like we're supposed to. And we may have mislabeled that situation. You know, asking questions helps. And when we get in our own head, we stop asking questions. We stop investigating. We stop assuming forward. We stop using the system for what it's good for. So both good and bad, positive and negative emotions can cause us to stop our process. And so if we can just remove ourselves from it, stay objective, stay back, still listening, still trying to understand where their feelings are coming from, still continuing to ask questions, still continuing to assume forward, we give ourselves the best possible chance to do business with that person. It gives us the highest probabilities. We may not in all situations, we're not always going to get to the bottom of it. You know, some people are going to be open and willing to talk about the negative feelings. They're going to be willing to share their negative experience. They're going to be willing to share that they're interested. Some people may not. And so we cannot fail ourselves and mislabel it and assume something. Because so often have I been in a situation where somebody said to me, I'm not going to do business today. You know, I don't make decisions on the spot. I'm not going to write you a check today. And because I continue to assume forward and let the process do the work, something along the way must have influenced them. Something got to them. Maybe it was the emotional story that really got them thinking about this. But a lot of people who have said those words to me wrote me a check and did business that day. And because I continued to assume forward and had that experience, it grew the conviction in me that just follow the system, follow the process, and don't get caught up in that emotion in that moment. Stay steady, stay relaxed, stay calm, follow your system, and you could be surprised, and you can end up writing somebody that you may not have thought you would have. So those are my thoughts, Greg. I'll send it back to you.
Well, great thoughts, Christian, and that's why you've done so well. You know, you're a great example. When you joined us, I believe you never came from a sales background, and yet today, you're a true sales professional, the number one in the company for many years. Now you're focused on leadership and the responsibility of transferring your skills and validating what you've learned and now transferring it to other people. So you know what you're talking about. So I hope people are listening to the people sharing their thoughts today. They really do know what they're talking about. And I'm going to go to Ruth. Ruth, another true professional, I'd like you to speak to this. Handling rejections gracefully. Rejections are inevitable in sales. Managing emotions involves handling rejection gracefully, not taking it personally, and learning from the experience for continuous improvement. Can you speak to that, Ruth?
Well, I think it's really important to be professional and handle things with grace. And my dad was a business person, and a long, 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 long time ago, he told me a story about somebody's business that he wanted to get, and when he went to go and, we'll say, close that deal down, because I can't remember exactly the details, the man said no, he was going with somebody else. And my dad told me that he was floored. He really expected that he was going to work with this person, and he resisted the urge to say all kinds of things, and he basically said what we say, which is, well, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's not mine today. Good luck with you in the future. And he moved on. And sure enough, that fellow went with this other person, and it wasn't what he thought, and he ended up coming back to my dad, and he told my dad that it was because of how he handled the situation. So my dad, being what he was, he wanted to teach me that lesson, and that's why I heard that story when I was still a child. And it is so easy to take things personally, but if you really look at anything that's happening and you can not take it personally, you can... We are in a rejection business. 8 out of 10 people that we talk to are going to say no to us, or 7 out of 10, or 6 out of 10. There's still a lot of no's. When you look at, that's from the people that are, we get a chance to get a presentation with. But when we say, hi, my name is, no. Hi, my name is, no. Hi, my name is, we get that a lot too. And the best thing we can do, Sylvia referenced Jerry's CD, and I was going to as well, so I still will. Relax, relax, relax. I am, Greg, you know, I am a highly emotional being. You've seen me cry a bunch of times, and that's just who I am as a person. I have always been like that. I get excited about something good, I cry. I get excited about something bad, I cry. And I cry in the middle as well. And it's been a constant thing for me to be able to be calm and carry on. And I use that always in the back of my head when I'm getting excited. And it's never a personal thing. Kristen or Adam was talking about the fact that we're the star of our own story. But we're not the star of everybody else's story. They're the star of their story. They're the main character. And we don't know what's going on in their lives. And so if we take it with grace and we say, next one is going to be okay, and we listen to Jerry, that first year, I tell you, that CD in my car got played a lot, a lot, a lot. Every time... Something didn't, no, it's not that necessarily about with a client being rejected. It could be just your overall feelings about everything as you're growing in the company and you're trying to achieve your goals and things come along and get in your way. It could be something from your family. It could be something going on, who knows, at the office. You got to prioritize it. You got to put it in a box and label it. We were talking about that as well. And if this is not something to, you know, we'll just take a family situation. Sure, it can upset you, but you can't carry that with you all day and expect to do some business. So you got to put that in a label and say, well, that's a family thing and it's not a work thing, so I'm not going to think about it right now. And you take it out of your head and you move on and you think about the things that are going to make you help you to work. And if you listen to that CD or you listen to anything and it say, your numbers are there. This is a proven system. If Greg can do this, I can do this. It's as simple as that. And it's been going on for 50 years. So what does everybody say? Oh, hold on. Do 5 presentations a day. So if you're not doing 5 presentations a day, then you strive towards that. Because if you talk to somebody and they say, no, thank you, or they say, no, get out of here, you can still put a smile on your face and say, thank you very much for your time. I guess this isn't our opportunity today. Good luck. And move on. And you feel better because you've accomplished something. You haven't taken it personally. And, oh, so many people that have said that to me, because I've now been around for 8 years and I circulate back and circulate back, and owners change businesses or businesses change owners, all kinds of things happen. The guy that you meet 2 years later doesn't remember that he saw you, and you realize, oh, that guy must have really been having a bad day that day because he's as nice as anything. And the next thing you're doing business with this person. Or you say, wow, I've really grown a lot because I was able to handle that situation so much better now than I did a year ago or 2 years ago, because we grew. And because that's what Tony Robbins was talking about yesterday, the most important thing is progress. That we move forward and we keep calm and we enjoy the process and we make progress. And don't take it personally, because if you're doing your numbers, that one sale that you didn't get really doesn't matter, because there's another one coming, because you're doing your work. If you're not doing your work and you're only talking to one person and that one person says no, wow, that hurts. Of course that hurts. That's why we got to do our numbers. So I'll pass that back to you.
Well, Ruth, I've just been inspired myself personally. The respect that I have and the people that have worked with you over the years, Ruth, because you're constantly progressing. And you're right. You know how to make a room cry, Ruth. You always start the waterfalls, and before you know it, you get everyone involved. But that's your passion. That's why you care. And people know that you care. And the fact that you're always evolving, you're always progressing. You're not the same person today than the person that started with us. And you were great when you started with us, but you never stopped growing. You constantly work on developing your craft, your skills. And you're a great example of what happens when you work on yourself on a regular basis. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Ruth. And I'm going to go to let's see here. I'd like to speak to Jack. Jack, I think you could speak well to this. Adapting to different personalities.
Greg, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's a really bad time. Could you call on me next?
Okay. I'll save that one for Jack. I'm going to go to Amy. Amy, can you speak to this?
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Amy. Staying positive in the face of challenges. Sales can be challenging, but effective sales professionals maintain a positive attitude. They focus on finding solutions rather than dwelling on problems, fostering a can-do mentality. Can you speak to that, Amy?
I absolutely can, because thank you for calling upon me upon this one. You know, we all go through cycles and things happen, and we get thrown off our game, whether it's stuff happening personally or work-wise. And one habit of success that I started practicing a few years back, but then really honed in on this when I'm going out every day and saying hi, is attitude of gratitude. Because when you have an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness, you're thankful for what you have as opposed to seeing what you don't have. And, you know, what Sylvia says is tomorrow or today is a brand new baby day, because it is. And there's so much opportunity out there. And it's just practicing that habit of success, of being thankful and bringing your best self. I had a situation where I showed up and on the spot wrote two business partners. And it was at the end of the day. I had just dropped my daughter off after school, and I thought, I better get out again. I happened upon two. It was later in the day, and it was on the spot. It was phenomenal. It just made my day. It made my week. I was super excited. And about a week later, I had to go back for a questionnaire. And I thought, oh, I'm providing awesome service. So I went back there. And the one had totally changed his tune, because he talked to a friend who's in the business. And the other one followed along. Well, they both canceled. Oh, it was so... I was very professional. I didn't show my emotion. I was disappointed, and I did try to, I did say a comment in regards to, well, it's not what is in that it's not the wording in that policy. It's in, it's the wording, and it's not what I say, and it's not what your gentleman says. It's the wording in the policy. Well, you know, they weren't in a mind to listen. So that was that, and I was really disappointed. I called Sylvia, and then she got my emotion, not my prospect or client. I called John. He got my emotion, not my prospect, not my client. And then I was even disappointed the next morning. Truly I was, but I thought, I gave myself a talk to, and I said, enough is enough, Amy. I said, go into this business and give your best presentation. Well, lo and behold, that was just tremendous. She wrote out a check and said, this is affordable. This is great. Thank you for coming. You know, so it's really just staying, it's having the attitude of thankfulness and gratitude and putting your best, no matter what has just happened, putting your best in front of the next opportunity. And I'm going to kick it back to you.
Well, I love your thoughts. Anyways, I have to say, Amy, that's what makes you, why I think one of the many reasons why they call you Amazing Amy is just the way you deal with things. You are a true professional, and you know, it's great. I'm glad that you shared your story, Amy, because there's lots of people that are going to experience disappointments, but it's how you respond to it. It's how you handle it. And I'm not sure if that's Jack talking or... Okay. Anyways, we're going to continue here, and I'm going to... actually, Jack, are you...
Yes, I'm sorry. I accidentally unmuted there, but yes, I am ready.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back, because I'd like you to speak to this, adapting to different personalities. Salespeople encounter individuals with various personalities. Managing emotions means adapting to different communication styles and personalities without letting personal biases or judgment interfere. Can you speak to that, Jack?
Yeah, I think it's an important skill where you don't act out of line with who you are, but it is an important skill to learn how to mirror someone. We all have the ability to speak slowly or put a bit more energy in. And if you're speaking to someone who is very much calm and laid back, maybe quaint and quiet, you don't want to come in and be boisterous, overwhelming, and to the point that they're kind of putting their head back where they're in a bit of shock on how you're conducting yourself. And on the flip side, you don't want to be quaint and quiet if you're speaking to somebody who's boisterous. There's an idea of mirroring the energy that the person is showing you so that you can get on a similar wavelength and try and in turn connect with that person in a deeper state than just the words that you're saying. But communication, I think 10% of communication is the actual words that you use. The rest is body language, energy, tone, and the way that you show up, like even though your body positioning. So being able to align yourself with the people that you're speaking with and adapt. The people that you're speaking with is a skill set that is incredibly... Can you hear me?
Okay, now we can.
What was the last thing you heard?
Well, we basically heard everything you said, Jack, so just continue.
Okay, well, I'll wrap it up by saying it is a skill set, and it's something that you have to develop. You develop a habit through your convictions, right? I know Christian mentioned earlier that you gain conviction as you begin to see results from you taking certain action, and conviction as well as convincing yourself that you're capable. Right, you are able to adapt to people. Whether you convince yourself that you can do something or you convince yourself that you can't, you are right because that's your own personal beliefs. So convince yourself that you're capable of changing and adapting and growing, and eventually those adaptations will become a habit. So it is important. It is one of the most valuable skills you can learn is being able to connect, and one of the most direct and simple ways to do that is by being able to mirror the energy that the person is showing and make sure that it's what is needed to have them develop a sense of comfort with you and listen to what it is that you're sharing. So I'll throw it back to you.
And Jack, I'd like you to just maybe take an extra moment and talk about the power of our track, why the track, the system, works with all personalities. How powerful is the track?
Well, the track, it's what gets you. It's what the words of the message, right? So if you try to change that up, then you're not following the system. Whether you're speaking softly, if you're speaking to a librarian and you're yelling at them, it's not going to be received. But the track is going to have the message that they needed to hear. So being able to follow it and knowing that it's repeatable, regardless of what your personality is, regardless of what your position and your experience is, it does give you the foothold or the starting point to be able to get through and communicate this message to whoever you're talking to, and you build your skills around that. So it is the foundation. Back to you.
All right. Thanks, Jack. And that's why you're so successful. You really do mirror the energy on who you're speaking to. But I love the fact that you stay on track. The system is the system. That's what's beautiful about it. It doesn't care about personality. But the outcome is the same. You follow the track. I promise you, you will get a consistent success when you master. And once you learn the system, no one can take it away from you. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Jack. And I'm going to go to Chelsea. Chelsea, you're doing so well. You really are progressing. And I know I can hear it in your voice when you're talking. You're starting to really learn your craft. And I want you to speak to this. Are you able to speak, Chelsea?
I am, thank you, yes.
Okay, great. I'd like you to speak to this. Staying positive in the face of challenges. Sales can be challenging, but effective sales professionals maintain a positive attitude. They focus on finding solutions rather than dwelling on problems, fostering a can-do mentality. Can you speak to that?
Okay, so one of the things that I love about this is, well, we were talking to a fellow that was a really tough guy, and I know Ruth had been in there before, and he was a really crusty fellow. And, you know, once he got to know us, and you can put people at ease and with your confidence and respecting their time and eventually they, you know, this fellow ends up smiling and laughing. So being able to see that in him gives me hope for all the rest of the people. And I really like being able to, you know, break through with people and really connect with them. And that's part of the mirroring, how you get to that point. And being able to stay positive is in the face of all these rejection and crustiness that is out there in the world. We are able to catch these people on a different time, on a different day, and there's a lovely something that beautiful happens when you go out there with this positive energy, with positive expectancy. So when I go out and I'm expecting to get a presentation or write somebody, I'm feeling that more and more often because I'm in the control of my thoughts. I'm the center of my tornado and I'm in the driver's seat. So I'm writing my story, but also respecting everybody else's story. And I'm happy for the opportunity to meet these people and come into their lives and offer the opportunity to hear about something that could really make a difference in their life. And I'll just pass it back to you, Greg. Thanks.
Well,
have a good friend.
Thanks for sharing your story, Chelsea. And I like the word crusty. I think it's just interesting. You know, I will tell you from my experience, these people that you meet from time to time, wow, if you can win them over, they end up a lot of times being your best clients. They'll stay with you for years and years and years because they don't, you know, give trust easily a lot of times. But when you earn their trust, trust me, they are end up being your best clients. They'll stay with you for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I'm telling you, I, and you're starting to understand that, Chelsea, and that's amazing. You're not taking it personally. And that's why you're becoming a true professional. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Eileen. Eileen, again, you're new in the business, but boy, you're progressing, and we're so proud of you. But I'd like you to speak to this, Eileen. Staying positive in the face of challenges. Sales can be challenging, but effective sales professionals maintain a positive attitude. They focus on finding solutions rather than dwelling on problems, fostering a can-do mentality. I'd like you to speak to that.
Well, thanks for calling on me, Greg. You have to stay positive.
Eileen, we lost you. Hello, Eileen. Okay, looks like we lost Eileen. Eileen, we'll get back to you. Then I'm going to go to Bill. Bill, are you able to speak? Oh.
Are you here, Greg?
Okay. Can you speak to that, Bill?
Well, that's it's interesting that listening to the conversation today. It's because it's being with the company for so long. We talk about this all the time, and it's hearing the people that do have that can-do mentality and make it work for them. And it's all about their ability to persevere. Work through the challenges, understand, first of all, it's got to understand there are challenges. Sometimes, we go out on calls, people go out on the calls, knocking on doors, having heard the challenges, but until you face something right on yourself, it doesn't sink in. But when you do that, and you had the confidence, you know the system that we work, the presentation, the front talk, and you have it nailed, then those challenges become opportunities. And as you said a number of times and over the years, is when you come across a challenge that you've never faced before, you speak to your mentors, you speak to other people that have faced those challenges, find out what they've done, and then look for that opportunity the next time and really look at it and say, now bring it on. I'm going to overcome it this time. But it's that can-do mentality that you get from being positive, being confident in what your ability to do and understanding the situation that makes it work for you. We don't know. Sylvia's right on. We don't know what that person has faced when we approach them. We don't know what type of mood they're in. We don't know any of those things about them. But what we do know is what we have as a product and the presentation we have and the confidence that we have, that's all that matters. And if you get a no, then that's a no. Flat no, you just move on to the next person, have yourself a great day. But it's funny, you listen to everyone talk today and how many people have had a no from somebody and then they run into them in a 6 months or a year from now and they write them. Again, it comes down to, well, you don't know what they were like, what the challenges were facing at the time that you made that approach, but things have changed in their life. And that's why... Whenever we go into an area that we think has been worked on over and over the years by others, it's a new area for us. And that person that you approach may not remember who approached them, or things have changed in their lives. So it's a new area for you. And it doesn't matter. If they've spoken to somebody yesterday, then that's fine. If they haven't, then that's fine too. But that can-do mentality, I understand what I need to do, and I'm going to do it, and I have the resources to do it with. Back to you, Greg.
Well, thanks. I appreciate your thoughts. And you're another great example, Bill. For years and years, you've been a President Club winner, and we worked with all kinds of people, and you're right. It's not personal. They may say no today, but again, when you're professional, sure enough, you run into them again, and you have a totally different outcome where they say, now I'm ready to do business with you today. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And Eileen, are you able to speak now?
I am, Greg. Sorry about that.
Okay, not a problem. It's, things happen. It's how you deal with it. And I'm glad that you're back on the call. So I'd like you to speak to this. Handling uncertainty. Sales often involves uncertainty, such as unpredictable market trends. Effective emotional management includes embracing uncertainty as a normal part of the job and focusing on controllable factors. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, just like everybody was saying here this morning, if you stick to the track and you stick to the system, I think it'll always pan out to work for you. It seems to go that way, and you guys are obvious examples of that. And just having these Zoom calls three times a week, it's so uplifting, and it helps you stay on track. So I think that, like, I always try to make sure I'm on them, and I know obviously you guys all do too. And I think that if you're having a down day, or things aren't going quite the way you want, it just helps you kind of kickstart your day, kickstart your week. I think they're fantastic, and I always take so much from them. Like Jody says, you get a little nugget here and there, and it helps you throughout your day. So I think that as long as we keep to our system, people are always going to need financial protection. So I mean, with the markets go up and down, sometimes, like right now, a lot of people don't have a whole lot of spare money, but they need it more than anybody. So, I mean, it's just to get that perspective across, I think, is a big deal. And listening to you guys every morning or three times a week has definitely helps you get there a lot easier. I'll throw it back to you, Greg.
Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts. And you're right. Sometimes, we have a saying, sometimes you need the meeting and other times we need you. But this is the long game. And the true professionals that are very committed to their success, you're right, they're on the calls. I call it sharpening the saw. Just keeping the edge of being a true professional consistently, and that's what these meetings can do for all of us. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, and we're literally out of time, but I want Adam just to speak to this. Maintaining professionalism, regardless of the situation, maintaining professionalism is paramount. Managing emotions means not letting personal feelings interfere with professional conduct. Can you speak to that, Adam?
Yeah. Personal feelings, we got to be a little bit of a chameleon, don't we? We got to be a little bit, tribal in that, trust is built. To take someone from crusty to trusting, you have to be able to find common ground. And the reality of it is the more tribes you can be a part of, the more common ground you're going to be able to find with people, and you're going to seem more human. We're talking really a lot about how to maintain the right mindsets through the ups and downs and the adversities that come with our business and with life in general. And I think that it's important to note that our imagination is probably the worst offender, okay? People may say something, and like everybody's talked about today, like we don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know We are the professional communicator. It's our job. It's our job, okay? So we got to take control there. It's our job to provide a path of redemption. You know, how everybody who spoke on the call today has had the experience where we have that client that we're like, oh, I'm so excited, I got the program back, it's all good. We phone them up, and they say, hey, it's Adam Brink with Landmark Canada. How you doing today, Charlie? Oh, Adam, with the insurance, click. And you're like, what? Now your imagination fills in all the blanks, okay? This guy doesn't want to see me. He's going to cancel his program. Well, imagine you guys canceled me every time my reception was bad and I fell off the call. Imagine you didn't want to be friends with me anymore. It's like people have a million things going on in their life. Sometimes now means not yet. The way that we handle ourselves and the consistency that we handle ourselves as a professional, it allows us to perpetually keep that door open so no's mean not yet. And what I encourage everybody to do is give people you want to act always on your own terms. You want to leave on your own terms, but you want people to have a path to reopen a conversation. People are not necessarily practiced in how to handle conflict and communicate in, you know, productive and constructive ways. So they do the best they can, and it's our job to be the pro. It's our job to say, okay, well, whatever you'd like to do is completely up to you. But I do have an obligation to go through with you what the company came back with, to keep things calm. Again, comfort is contagious. So if we are practiced in controlling our breath and it not being a problem and we are calm and collected, what we will find is that our clients appreciate that and they will fall into the position that we provide for them, okay? The bigger frame absorbs the smaller frame. And if our convictions are what they need to be, people will understand. Not everybody, it's not going to be perfect for everybody. Timing isn't going to be good for everybody. But if we give people the path that is going to be comfortable for them to walk, they will walk that path. And that puts us in a position of authority. It allows us to use our system to its maximum benefit. And it allows us to exist on our own terms. And that's one of the biggest things for the mental health and mental state of mind of an entrepreneur. So I heard lots of brilliance today, Greg. I'll bump it back to you.
Well, your thoughts were great, Adam, and, you know, it's possible that the person that you just called was at a cell phone range and got cut off, so you might have to call back.
Is this?
Yeah.
And you don't want to hold it against them. You want it to not be a problem, right? So anyway, back to you.
Anyways, that was great. Anyways, we're literally out of time. You know, the hour went by for me really quick, but Jerry, I'd like you to just summarize what you heard today from your 60, 70 years of experience now.
Two, but who's counting? The comments were so wise and so heartfelt because we have a mission, and that is to be the best we can be by providing extraordinary services. And they are extraordinary, ladies and gentlemen. Extraordinary services to be. The disenfranchised blue and gray collar self-employed. Nobody in the industry really looks after these people. They're scared. They're frightened because of the risk. We've always known, this is since I've been in the business 62 years, that high-risk people are in a high-risk industry, or a middle-risk person is in a middle-risk industry, but they're self-employed. They don't take chances. They've got a spouse, they've got children, they've got obligations, they've got everything they own tied up in their business. And they know if they take a risk, if something happens, they're done. And we are able to step in. And we have now in Canada for over 50 years, in the United States, UK, and we provided these disenfranchised, these people with an extraordinary program, not an adequate program, not just a good program, an extraordinary program that in many cases can pay them an income. God forbid tragedy strikes for the rest of their lives. And it's so impactful and so meaningful. And a lot of people swear nothing ever is going to happen to them. They would bet everything they own. Nothing is ever going to happen to them. Why did they believe that? Because nothing has up to this point. And yet, as I said, I think it was this week, the hospitals are filled with first-timers. and I guarantee you the cemeteries are all filled with first timers. It just is the way life works. You do make a difference. And if you believe as strongly in the service that I, as I have for 62 years, and you believe in the opportunity to do so well for you and your loved ones and build a legacy, your residuals and renewals, you'll be phenomenal. You will grow to that best person you can ever be. You'll look in that mirror and really like that person that's facing you back. You'll fall in love with him or her. I promise you that. I promise you that. One last statement. I was thinking, in fact, I wrote it down and was scribbling notes because I always scribble notes. Reminding myself, after all these years, no one has ever, ever, ever failed or not been successful who consistently made 5 presentations a day, 20 a week. Even if you're not good at it, it's okay. Even if you're not comfortable with it, it all takes time. But your success is a foregone conclusion as long as you have the determination, the willpower, the passion, the commitment, the dedication just to make one presentation after another, or one step at a time, 5 a day. You will be sensational at 20 a week. I promise you, you can have a slow week. And a bad day, we all do. You'll never have a bad month. You'll never have a bad quarter. You'll never have a bad year. Those are my thoughts. Thank all of you. It's always an honor to listen to your great ideas, your thoughts, your passion, your commitment, your visions, and your dreams. It makes me feel 32 again. Thank you. Back to you, Greg.
Thank you, Jerry, for your thoughts. And I'll end the call by just saying, make today so awesome that yesterday gets jealous. On that note, let's all have a great day. Bye for now.
Goodbye.